We got to go.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's such an honor to give the Word of God out. I mean, that's the greatest blessing I've ever had in my life. I mean, it's an honor to get up here, read the Bible, put together a message, share the Word of God. I'd like to thank my friends, John and Sammy, for coming out. We're great friends. We grew up together and played baseball. Got a little Caesar's pizza. Did normal things as a kid. It was just a blast. So God bless them for coming out. You know, so my message today is on eternity. Judgment Day, like David said earlier, and I was talking to David about my message throughout the week and stuff like that. And, you know, people just kind of block all that stuff out. You know, they really do. They just don't think that's going to happen. They think they're going to live for many, 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 many years down here with no, you know, consequences or no afterlife. Or some are atheists. They think they're just going to die and just cease to exist after that. But like we heard this morning, it's like, you know, God's word's eternal. You know, God's word is eternal. Whatever it says, it's eternal. It's going to live on forever. He created us. He's never, like you said, he's never had a beginning. He's never going to have an ending. We were created by him, and we are going to expire one of these days. We will have an ending. And what happens after that is judgment. You know, we're going to be evaluated whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. You will be judged. That's why there's two judgments. The good judgment is the judgment seat of Christ, where you'll be evaluated for what you've done, good or bad, in the body down here, while you're alive. And Jesus will reward you for serving him down here. I mean, that's motivation enough to block out any worldly thing that we have down here. Is eternity. You keep your eye on eternity. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers that go to the, unfortunately, they go to the lake of fire. We're starting off with their unbelief in the Savior, and then everything follows after that. So we're going to touch a little bit on the book of Hebrews today, Ecclesiastes today, maybe a little bit on Revelation today. But as starting the message, when I first read this chapter, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, you got your Bibles. Maybe look to that, but I remember years and years and years ago, I mean, God's word is so sharp, it's like a two-edged sword just pierces you, like speaks to you so fast and stuff like that. So, it says here, 9:27 reads, "It is appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment." So, Christ having been offered once to bear the sins of what? Many will appear a second time, not to deal with our sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Let's look at the word appointed right there. Okay? We all have an appointment. It's like, okay, during the week, we've got a doctor's appointment. Okay, or we got this appointment, that, you know, it's on the calendar, but you have an appointment to be somewhere. Okay, well, God is saying that we all have an appointment assigned to us. We don't know it, he does. So there's no oops or mistake with the Lord. Okay, it's just basically when your time is to go, your time to go. It could be from cancer, could be from the COVID, could be from a brain aneurysm, could be from a heart attack. It doesn't matter. There's no, oops, I didn't know that was coming and stuff like that. You might want to take care of yourself in a better way down here. What you eat, what your activities are, or not doing drugs or alcohol, that's a plus too. You get a little bit of a longer life, but basically around 70, 80 is your expiration date, basically. But he says, look at the word appointed. We are all appointed a time to die once. Not, you know, one time down here. Every person has a life before judgment, how we live in the body down here. So this rules out reincarnation. You ever hear people think, well, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back again as this or that? The Hindus believe they're going to come back as an animal or a cow or this. I mean, it's just ridiculous how it just on and on and on what they're going to come back. Well, I'm going to come back in a better life or as a better version of myself. Just ridiculous stuff. So reincarnation and the idea that there will be a second chance to believe after death. People think that when they die, they got another chance coming. They're going to stand before God and they say, well, okay, I didn't know that. No, no, there's no second chances after death. You have to get it right while you have breath in your lungs today. Paul says, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. A lot of people procrastinate. They believe it, they want to put it off. They want to keep doing what they're doing. But if you think about it right now, there's no second chances. And a lot of people think there are. I remember seeing a sermon by Adrian Rogers saying that. He goes, oh, people think they're going to, you know, live way down there. And they're going to just, you know, come to the Lord then. Or you know, they're going to come to the Lord after they die because then they'll know the truth. No, no. The Word of God explains all that. You need to get right now with it. Since death, immediately after the reference to the fact of death, so there'll be no second chance. The fact that death comes, the phrase, and after that. If you think about the word, and after that, death, what does it say? It comes judgment. It doesn't say another chance or purgatory. No such thing as it says judgment. Judgment. And with no way of changing the circumstances about that. That's why people can, you know, say all they want to say or... But see, they're adding and subtracting to God's word, if you think about that. If they say there's a place to go for a certain amount of time, or, you know, I got to stay there, then I can be released, that's really nonsense. That's not what the Word of God says. It says judgment. It doesn't say anything else. God is not a gray area God. He's black or it's white. It's one of the two. There's no in-between with that. And what's scary about this passage is unbelieving sinners need to get right with Jesus Christ before they die. It's a must. There's no second chances after that. The people nowadays, you know, they don't care. You know, I was laughing with Dan all week. It's just like, you know, everybody just drives around aimlessly and has their clouds and they got the phone going with one hand. They got their hand on the wheel on the other hand. They're in a 50-mile-an-hour street, and they're going 30 miles an hour, and they've got traffic backed up. And you know what cracks me up is every time I see this, gotta go around. Go around. But I always have to take a look at who. I gotta get a good look at who is causing this. I have to. And I take a nice long look like that. I said, okay. I mean, it's just, I mean, I've never seen it. They got one hand like this and the one hand on the wheel, but they're just wrecking the whole pattern of driving. You know, and it just backs everybody up, messes everything up. So they got their head in the clouds, basically. They don't think about that. They'll think about where they're going to go on their next vacation, but they're not going to think about where they're going to spend eternity. I mean, if you think about it, you're going to spend more time dead than you are alive. Is that right? Amen? So, what is clear is what the Bible says and what God says about that. The human soul will appear in one of two judgments. The first one is the judgment seat of Christ, which we're going to study this morning. The judgment is for believers. If you got your Bible, we're going to start at Romans 14, what talks about that. The judgment seat of Christ. There's a couple of really, really good passages on that. We'll talk about that. Romans 14, verse 10 says, it says, for we all stand before God's judgment seat. It's talking to believers. So then each of will give an account of himself to God. Every one will give an account to himself as God. And God says, as I live. Remember, we're talking about the living God. God is a living God. Okay? Says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that each of us will give an account of himself to God. And it also says that in the book of Philippians, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that Jesus is Lord. Another passage, 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us we must all appear. okay, before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done and while in the body, whether good or bad. So you know what he's saying right here? Is we will appear. People think when they die and they're in the casket, they're there. No, they're not there. Their body's there, but they're not there. They will go back to the Lord. They will appear before the Lord and be judged. What is done in this body, your physical body right now, what you've done for the Lord, whether it be good or bad, you're going to get judged on that. And you're going to get rewarded for what you've done and what you have not done. That's why it is so important as a believer, which we're going to get into a little bit, is to walk daily with the Lord and keep focused. Done whether good or bad. In the context, this is clear that both passages refer to Christians, not unbelievers. The judgment seat of Christ, therefore, involves believers giving an account of their lives to Christ. We are accountable. That's the key word there, is we're accountable for what we do down there. We should take that very seriously. I mean, you're not going to just have one foot in and one foot out. There's a great passage in Luke we're going to look at. Mean by that, you can't be lukewarm, as Jesus would say, right, when serving Him. The judgment seat of Christ, therefore, involves believers giving an account of their lives. This is a great passage. Ecclesiastes 12 says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." Okay? Before the evil days come and the years draw near to where you say, "I have no pleasure." Ecclesiastes. When he's talking about that, it's like, you know, when I was a young kid in my 20s or something like that, I wish I knew what I knew now. I really do. I really do. I would have done a million things. You know, I wasn't, when you're young and you don't know the Word, you don't know the Lord, you're going to do horrible things with your life. You know, like it says, I wish I would have remembered the Lord. You know, back in that time period, I would have done a million things differently. Not to say I did horrible. You know, sin is sin. Sin is, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And he says, the years draw near, which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, the evil days, what he's talking about here, refers not to the consequences of the wicked living, but rather to the unpleasantness of physical deer getting old. I mean, if you think about getting old, I mean, you know, you could work for the Lord now while you've got your health and you've got a good physical, you know, being and doing your ministry. But when you get older, you know, you get tired. You know, you're not going to physically want to do something. In verse 12 it says, "My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books," as we read earlier, "to no end." A lot of people are getting wearied out by reading self-help books. You know, and then you're studying, and it's, at the end of the day, it's meaningless stuff. It's really meaningless stuff compared to the Word of God. And much study is what the Bible says, is weariness to the flesh, waste of time. You know, people try to figure it out, but what God has made crooked, no man can make straight, basically. You think about that. There's nothing that you can do about that. But people try to continuously, in this day and age, try to figure it out through demonic religions and anything you can think of, basically, to try to outdo the Word of God. It's impossible. The end of the matter has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every deed into judgment. Here we go. Every secret thing, too. Look at what it says. Every secret thing, whether good or evil. People think they get away with anything down here. It's ridiculous. They get away with nothing. God says He'll bring everything into judgment. The actions of every human being are on like a tape recorder. You're being filmed every day. You don't even know it. And while you can't erase what's on your tape, you can create a new tape with better footage when you come to Christ. And go forward. That's why when people steal and rob and kill people and just or whatever, they think they're getting away with it. Not getting away with any of it. Because the conclusion of Ecclesiastes, it talks about Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, is to fear God. Because if you think about it, we are mortal human beings and we're weak. We're in the flesh. He is almighty. The book recommends, amongst other things, that we should, you know, enjoy our vain lives down here, as he says it, basically. It's our brief time under the sun. I mean, life is very, very short. So when we follow the Lord, he's not saying to just, you know, not have a good time. He says to enjoy our time down here. And we can only enjoy life as God gives it to us to enjoy. A lot of people that don't have the Lord are miserable, restless, horrible, or, you know, they got money, they got this or that, but they don't have Christ. You know, they don't have any peace in their life. They can't enjoy themselves. They can't enjoy their lives, you know. The advice to fear God trumps any other thing that you can think of. The whole of the book has been the focus on the brevity of earthly life and how we should live it in light of the reality of it. But at the end of the book, the book looks beyond this to the final judgment of every human soul. And I like what this says. It is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Because that is the end of all men and what? The living. We'll take it to heart, see. That's why I think going to funerals is like the biggest, one of the biggest, exactly right. Yeah. I mean, it really, and everybody's, I think everybody eternally says, well, that'll be me someday, but not anytime soon, right? They're going to think, I got plenty of time before that happens. But I think they got an inward knowledge that, you know, that will be me someday. And that's why people that avoid going to funerals, and it says better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, to like a party or a bar, or just to forget about it. They drown the sorrows and alcohol just to forget about that, and then they go on about their life. I've met some people that just don't go to funerals. No. I said, you're kidding me, man. You don't go? No. I just send flowers and that's it. I said, wow, okay. You know, you're not going to die. You're not going to be there one day? Well, I just don't want to think about it. You know, I said, okay, you don't want to think of it. You know, yeah, they go, it gets me depressed or something like that, or just like, I don't want to really face up to that. Well, the Bible says you should go. Because you gain a heart of wisdom, because the Lord has put a room in your heart that only He can fill. There's only He can fill that. He's put eternity in our hearts. I don't care whether you're a believer or not, but you know you're going to die. And eternity is just a breath away. And deep down, I think people do know that. Because I like what it says right here. It says, and the dust returns to the earth as it once was. We come from dust. Isn't that crazy to think that? We've come from dust. God has made us out of dust. And what does it say after that? And the spirit in these dust-filled bodies, what returns to God, who what? Gave it. Everybody in this room on this planet is a living soul, okay? And every one of you possess what is called your spirit. Believers have a Holy Spirit. Okay? And when you die, that returns to who? God who gave it, who breathed into us. Because it says here, he goes, we began as dust and we returned to dust. So if this is all you have to look forward to, it's empty. There's no ultimate meaning in life. To find true meaning, you have to have God come into your life through the Lord Jesus Christ, who can erase away the emptiness that life brings without Him. You know, people, people out there, you know, they're hurting. You know, they're just really in a lot of pain. Physically, emotionally, you know, they try to escape with drugs and alcohol, and it's Jesus is the only one that can help them out. And they're depressed. You know, they're empty. They've got no meaning or purpose in their life. They always ask that question, what is my purpose? Why am I here? The atheists believe that, you know, hey, we just kind of like happen to drop in down here, type of thing. Through a monkey or through water or from a Big Bang Theory explosion that we just saw kind of, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable how they would think that. It's like, if something that was never was, how can it just all of a sudden decide it's going to make itself? Like, I can't remember a time where I said I wanted to be a man. I mean, what about me being an animal? I mean, what about a dog or a monkey and it goes to the depths of ridiculous, being ridiculous. So, I mean, that's why the Word of God is just so pure. To have God come into your life to erase the emptiness, because it does. Because an unbeliever or an atheist, they don't have to, they think of it this way, they don't have to give an account for their sin down there. They don't even think there's a sin. They can just live any way they want down there. And as I said before, God has put the eternity in their hearts, whether they like it or not. Because after the judgment, as a believer, you are rewarded based on how faithfully you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to go and make disciples, what? All nations after that. To be a disciple, what do you got to do? You got to deny yourself. Number one, deny yourself. Second is we pick up our cross. And third is to follow Him. But what does He say? Daily, not once a month. On Easter, on Christmas, come to church. He says, daily, every day. That's not easy. But that's what we are to do. Work out your own salvation with what? Daily. Fear and trembling, right? Daily. Walk with the Lord daily. To us Christians, there's a great examination day coming. We must live and work in light of that day if we would be rewarded fully by the Lord. And it makes a difference. No believer will ever be judged for their sins because that has all been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him who sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The moment we believe for that gift. The Bible also speaks of believers receiving crowns. There's 5 different crowns that we are eligible for different things based on how faithfully we serve the Lord. That's another, and Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy, he says, an athlete is not crowned unless he completes the race according to the rules. You want to try to finish first. That's why you see these families now. It's kind of crazy. You know, you either get a first place, second place, or third place. And now they're given like 6th and 7th places to these kids, and they don't really, they didn't do nothing, but they still want to give them a word. They should try to maybe teach them to strive to become good and strive for the goal. You want first place, you know, even. You want the gold medal. You don't want the bronze, you know. But they're saying, well, we tried. And it's, no. That's not what the Bible talks about. It says you want to strive to be first. You know, you want the gold. I'll never forget when I was in elementary school. John, you know this. Tyler, good old Tyler. We had the field day contest, and I'll never forget the year before. It was so embarrassing. You had a room full of kids in there. And they would announce the first two or three winners, and everybody would have to stand up in front of all of the whole, and say, well, John got first place in the softball throw for the longest, and then Julie got prize for running the triathlon, and the third prize was running all the way to the field. So they would sit down, and then they would make the people that were in the contest make them look bad by, you know, standing up. They say, well, Mike, you know, he didn't really finish it, but, you know, hey, can we give him at least a round of applause? So I'll never forget this. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. So I told myself, next year I had to, it was my opportunity to get involved in that. I'll never forget this. I said, I do not want to be, whatever three things I'm going to get involved with, I'm not going to be the one that says, hey, Steve Poloni, you know, nice try. Can we give him a, I said, no. So I went to the school, and they had this track thing where you jump on the rope and you swing and you get on the monkey bars, and it's like a little maze you got to go through. I was there every single day just to say, I pray I get first, second, or third. Because if I at least get one of them or the second, I love the first one, they won't call me out. I'm the fifth or sixth to go say eight. So I remember going there every single day and working hard at it. And the day of the thing came up, and I think I got second. And so they gave me like a little award with a plaque, Steve Poloni. I said, thank you. And it was the same thing again. I just said, I can't believe you humiliated these kids. But look how we're reading the Bible, though. Okay? You know, he says, therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love what is appearing. You know, this is serious business. We're going to get some serious rewards from the Lord doing this stuff. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast. Under what? Trial. We're going to be persecuted for the Lord. For when he has stood the test, we will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. But, you know, people nowadays, they think, well, okay, I'm going to be a Christian, and then all my problems are going to go away. It's going to be a real cakewalk. Everything's going to fall. Hey, buddy, you're thinking the wrong thoughts with that. If anything, just the opposite is going to happen. You know, the Lord was persecuted, so you're going to be persecuted. The Lord Jesus Christ was hated, you're going to be hated. For his name's sake. We want to be encouraging to one another to follow the Lord. Staying faithful, staying focused. You know, all the stuff, we have eternal rewards, all this temporary stuff is all going to be burnt up anyways. Your money, your car, your house, your clothes. These are temporal things that we're just on loan. God is just loaning this. My little slice of heaven out there, that motorcycle, is a lot of fun, but that's about it. One day it'll be thrown in a furnace next. We're just borrowing this stuff. But eternal rewards, that is what we need to focus on, eternal. Because once we're out of here, that's all that matters. We leave everything behind. We want eternal rewards from Jesus, not just getting into heaven. You know, you just don't want to like get into heaven, but then you can't ride the rides, you know? I mean, it's like, I heard that quote and I wanted to use it, but it makes a lot of sense. It's like, yeah, you just want to barely get into heaven, but you can't experience the rewards and the festivities of being in heaven. You know, people think, I'm good. I mean, I'm going to do my thing down here. And, you know, I'm going to get in hopefully by the skin of my teeth, even if I just got it. But this makes no sense. As a believer, our citizenship is in heaven, not here. It says that in Philippians. David, you studied Philippians. Okay? When Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, God promises if you live for Him instead of yourself, you'll have nothing to worry about. See, that's how the devil, how tricky he is. He says, get your focus not on Him, get it on yourself. Get it on yourself. And that's where people have a problem. Today, you know when Jesus says to a man, Luke 9, I like this. Jesus says to a man, follow me. The man says, well, Lord, let me first go bury my father. So we're looking at that word, let me, again. So Jesus responds, let the dead bury the dead. And I know it sounds rough, but another man says, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me, there we go again, right? Go home to my family. Let me, not you, let me first go deal with my family. Then Jesus says, anyone who begins to plow a field and keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God. You know, what is Jesus saying there? You know, you're for Him, but it's like, okay, I'm just going to look back, and I want to play both sides of the fence in a way. Jesus says, no, no. You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven, the one that does that. Remember, Jesus knew what was in our hearts, or in men's hearts. He knew it was a reason or an excuse. But it boils down to the one phrase that both of us use, and that is, let me first. And we think on that. You know, you can't say, Lord, let me first. You can't do that. It's a contradiction. It's either you're going to be first in your life, or Jesus is going to be first in your life. It's one of the two. And it's real simple. He's the Lord of your life, or you are the Lord of your life. And that's that pride that sets in. You know, Jesus, when He says, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Him, those are powerful words. You know, when He approached the disciples, they dropped everything and followed Him. That's amazing. It's amazing. You know? But that's what you've got to do to stay focused on there. That's why it's important to fellowship. Three things I tell people. Pray every day. Pray without ceasing. As much as you want. You're in communication with the Lord. Read your Bible every day to stay focused, whether it be in the morning, at night, on your lunch break. And number three, find a good Bible church to go to, that you hear the Word of God being preached correctly. Get involved in a ministry. We have a good ministry here. Look at it. It's a small church, but it's slowly starting to build. You know, we've got great Christian hearts that are seeking the lost down here. Jasmine's been coming for over a year now. She's bringing more people for when we started back up again. God bless her for that. We're going to do an outreach. That's good. You're trying to lead people to Christ, and you're trying to further His kingdom. And this neighborhood needs that over here. They need this diamond in the rough we see out there. Because we do make a difference. I see it. Kids are learning the Word. They're getting killed out there. With the satanic stuff on the internet and on the television and in movies and all that garbage that's going on down there. So that does make a difference. And if we all work together for His glory, we will be rewarded one day for that. God's going to see that. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's what we want. We want that. So we're going to close. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the Word of God, Lord, that just motivates us. Keep us focused, Lord. You know, we just love You, Lord. We thank You for the ministry work that You give us to do down here. We thank You for this body of believers here today. I thank you for my brother John and his son today coming out. I pray for John's wife Sandra right now. I pray for Chris Kozlowski with him right now too as well, our friend. But God's good. That's all I think about every day. Every time I get out of bed, Lord, you know, just another day that we can serve you, and we're blessed by it, Lord. God is good. We thank you, and we ask that you send us one now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think there's a final song Phil is going to...
672.
Okay, what number, Phil?
672.
672 of the number.
Thank you.